CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston, a professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul, to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Grant Sisalu and Marvin Oka from Embraining. I just love these guys. I'm, you know, sad that this may be their last show. Hopefully when the time changes go back and we can maybe look at something else, maybe when their schedule starts to calm down a bit. But I'm very excited to have them. This has been a fascinating few months of discussion because, you know, they really are bringing new information in about the gut brain that I really don't think it's been on the radar. So our last conversation was about relationships and forgiveness. And in the end, we sort of talked about values. So I thought we would talk about values and blocks today. But if you want more information about these guys, they have a book called Embraining. You can go to their website, embraining.com. So it's just an embraining.com. So embraining.com. They also have a workshop that's coming up in Toronto, the only time they're coming to North America, at least planned this year. So if you want to get into the coaching program it's fascinating information. If you want to become a coach with them, definitely connect with them. And on my website, I have the PDF that is part of their page. So you can go there and listen to the shows and also find out more about their workshop in Toronto. Okay, so welcome, guys.
Thanks, Laurie.
Hey, Laurie, thanks.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Although it is midnight here in downtown Australia.
That's right.
and as we just said, we're just coming in, on the back of having completed a four-day MBIT coach certification workshop in Melbourne, Australia, where a whole bunch of people did some amazing and transformational work. There's some great MBIT coaches getting out around the world, and we're, you know, really looking forward to the exciting things they're going to be doing in bringing more generative wisdom to people's lives.
Nice. Now, I heard that you're not only doing the coaching, but you're also going to do trainer's training in Toronto, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. We're running both a coach cert and a trainer's training, and there'll be people in from both the US and Canada and even a lady from France, and I believe a trainer from London, from the UK, will be flying across to be part of that trainer's training. So it's really exciting. We'll have some great trainers of our methodology out across the world doing some really cool stuff in your part of the world.
Yeah, nice. Excited about that. All right, so let's talk about blocks. Let's talk about what can we do when we reach a block or when something comes up and we just feel stuck. I know we did a process which we did a show in, I guess the last show that we did in, well, okay, the first show that we did in May was on a process. I know that would be part of looking at blocks, but what recommendations do you have?
I think it depends on what you mean by blocks, Lori. There's different ways that someone can, for lack of better terms, get blocked in life or whatever it is that they're after at any particular point in time. Whenever someone's feeling stuck or not able to get clear what they want or to get themselves moving or et cetera, one of the first things we have to check is to make sure that, number one, they are in an autonomically balanced state. So they're not overly parasympathetic or overly depressed or lethargic, or they're not overly sympathetic. They're not overly stressed with high anxiety. Because it's very hard to actually get clear about what you truly want if you're overly stressed or overly depressed. So as we've spoken about previously, there's the methods for that are there's a basic breathing pattern that we teach called balanced breathing that allows people to get back into an autonomically coherent state very, very quickly. The next place that they can probably get blocked is simply not being fully in communication with all three of their brains. Usually when someone gets stuck, usually one or more of the brains are overriding one or more of the other ones. And usually the head brain kicks in quite often, running a whole range of different stories and narratives. And sometimes people aren't really truly connected into their heart to know what really is important to them or what really they're passionate about. And so they try and analyze themselves into getting motivated or wanting to do something. And of course, that's simply not going to work. At other times, they might have also a range of different gastrointestinal problems, and therefore the gut actually has a hard time doing what it needs to do to get the person mobilized and get them into action if the gut is having all sorts of digestive problems and etc. So there's different ways that someone can get blocked. And then, of course, there's blocks trying to get the brains integrated in the all up at the end as well.
Right. What about like emotional blocks? Would that be considered...
Emotions don't really, from our work, we see that emotions don't really block anything. You could actually have, emotions are just our processes. I don't know if we've spoken about this before, but there's a very important linguistic distinction to appreciate, and the technical term for it is called a nominalization. But without getting too technical on it, basically what it means is when we use words that sound like nouns, when in fact they should be verbs. often we like to use this example of a relationship, for instance. You know, if someone has a trying relationship with someone and they use the language pattern, I have a bad relationship with someone, it sounds like they're stuck, they can get emotions of being frustrated. They could feel stuck in that kind of a relationship. But the word relationship is a noun, grammatically. But in real life, it's actually a verb. You don't have relationships. You have to do them. They're actually processes you have to engage in. And so a better word is the word relating, which is the verb form. So instead of saying, I have a bad relationship, you'd say to yourself, I'm relating to someone badly. And as soon as you say that, you instantly create choices and options. You immediately start thinking what you could do differently. Hmm. Well, emotions is also that. People don't have emotions. You have to do processes of emoting. You have to actually do certain classes an emotional energy has to move through you. So you don't have them. So people don't have anger. They have to do processes that do angrying for themselves, for instance. And so when people feel like an emotion is so-called blocking them, it's not that an emotion is blocking them. It's just that they are doing processes, internal processes, that are basically, they're not conducive to them getting what they're after, what they really want. And this is where it's very important to have heart intelligence, a capacity to really check in with your heart and find out, as we mentioned before, the prime functions. Your heart is responsible for not only the emoting processes within you, it's also responsible for your valuing processes, your values that are important to you. And it's also responsible for the way you feel about others, your relational affect. But whenever you're feeling a particular way and it doesn't seem to be serving you, it's very helpful to check in with your heart intelligence and ask your heart regarding the situation, despite how you're feeling, what do you really want? What's truly important to you? What value is actually important to you about this situation or this issue? And when you find out what that is, what that core value is that's really important to you, and then we start finding ways of how to express that value into the situation, then there's movement. People now start having more productive goals and ways of expressing themselves.
That's a really fascinating way of putting it, just because we do get caught up in our emotions. And if we went to our heart, we would be able to feel through some of the pain that we're going through instead of trying to hide it and push it away and, have labeled it as bad and decide that that's not what we want to experience. It's a very an interesting way of looking at our emotions, because I think we really do get caught up or stuck in them, even though we have so many more choices than we're actually seeing.
Yeah, very much. I think it was Daniel Goldman. I think Grant, you might correct me on this. Daniel Goldman had coined that term, being emotionally hijacked. And lots of times our emotions can just sort of take over at times. And this is where, again, one of the key things is first come back to a balanced, autonomically balanced state. Do a bit of breathing to be able to, 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out, for a minute or two. Get yourself back to a state where you can get more of a balanced way of functioning into the world. Then check in with your heart about your values. It's also important to recognize as well the story in your head that goes with those emotions. In many ways, the story that can go with your head can also shift the way that you actually work your emotions up to a certain point. So there's emotions and there's what's called meta-emotions, for instance. There's feelings about feelings. And one of the great family therapists of our time when she was alive, a lady named Virginia Satir, she often talked about how it's not as much the emotion that one's feeling that might get them stuck. It's how they feel about that feeling. So if someone's feeling depressed, for instance, that's one thing. But if they feel depressed about being depressed, well, now we've got a problem. Now, but some people don't get depressed about being depressed. Some people can get curious about being depressed. So they could feel depression and they start getting reflective and start thinking, I wonder why I'm feeling this way. And they have a different storyline that now starts running from their head, where they start investigating. They start going into inquiry, self-inquiry. And at those times, depression can actually be incredibly insightful. It can be very soul-searching. It can be something that allows you to really do some deep reflection and make some very different choices about life. So we often mention this as well. You know, sometimes people have the behavior of procrastination, and they feel like they're a bad person because they're procrastinating, or they feel lousy about themselves because they're procrastinating. Sometimes if you actually get curious about your procrastination, you can do different things. So we often say to people, for instance, well, you know, when you get clever with your procrastination, next time you feel like procrastinating, put it off. just procrastinate about procrastinating and get on with it. You know? It's also really useful when you're depressed. You know, if I'm feeling like getting depressed, oh, well, maybe I'll do that later. In fact, maybe I'll never get around to it.
Yeah? Right. I love you guys. We're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. I have Grant Sisalu and Marvin Oka from M-Braining. If you want more information, go to their website, mbraining.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Thursday on New Sky Radio. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time, it's the Jane Wilkins Michael Show. Jane has helped change lives by encouraging listeners and readers to become better than before. Coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with Dr. Pat. At 3 p.m. Eastern, step into the Spirit Salon with Laura Lee, the sane psychic. Joyce Jackson is on at 4 p.m. Eastern, bringing sanity when love feels a bit crazy. Let Joyce Jackson help you ride the roller coaster of love with style. Kathy is in with host Kathy DeBono at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You won't want to miss a minute of the crazy fun with Kathy and her friends. Coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern, Reverend Linda Newman and Tom Forrest have the answers to life's most pressing questions. Yours on Answers with the Astro Bag Lady. Get the latest from the stars with Zoe Moon and the Zoe Moon Astrology Show at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com, powered by CBS Radio.
now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Grant Susilu, Marvin Oka from M-Braining. We've been talking about blocks, and we're going to look at values as well. But before we get there, fascinating discussion about emotions, I thought. But one of the, I guess, one of the examples that I think of when I think of blocks is a lot of people say they're blocked financially. And, you know, that's, finances is one of those big areas that people kind of get stuck in or worry a lot about. So I thought maybe we'd look at that as an example.
Yeah, the whole notion of financial tension, financial insecurities, financial anxiety, and as you say, when people feeling like they're blocked regarding their finances, usually as we'll start to see when people are in that kind of a position, obviously they've got quite a story running around in their head. And they're feeling all sorts of issues within their heart. But usually if someone's having a money issue, one of the first places we do want to check is the gut. Because the gut is the one responsible for, just to remind our listeners, the prime functions of core identity and self-preservation, which is safety, protection, maintaining your boundaries, and mobilization, your ability to act. And when people have insecurities and anxieties around money, it's usually a security issue. And it can often be directly linked to an identity issue, where people might say, I am not good at money, or I am struggling with money. I am someone who struggles with money. And as soon as they make it an identity issue, which then has the related fear issues that the gut's now got to process around not having enough, which is a survival type of an issue, then, of course, naturally, then the gut, with that set of programming, the gut doesn't know how to act, or more specifically, it will act in ways that fulfill that self-fulfilling prophecy, that sense of identity. And so the rest, you know, the head story that goes with it just simply perpetuates that whole vicious cycle. And, of course, they get to suffer all the heart-based emotions that go with that kind of anxiety. So one of the first places to actually look at is taking a look at how one defines one's own identity, how one actually looks at their sense of security and safety in the world, particularly around survival issues. But what do you act upon? If you're going to act and go out and generate income, you know, one of the first things, you've got to have an identity that you are someone with whom, you know, that can get good with money, that can attract money, that can actually go out and create money for yourself. But that's all going to be based on a value exchange. You know, when people say, you know, there's not enough money, well, it's not true. There's actually a heck of a lot of money around in the world. It's just that they don't have it. So it's a different issue. The issue isn't that there isn't money. The issue is how do they get it? And one of the ways that, without having to, you know, steal, the whole idea is it's money is a value exchange. So how do you actually exchange value, and how do you actually create value? And here we come back to something we spoke about previously, which is the highest expressions. And now if we come from starting from a heart base first, and we say, let me tap into what's important to me, and let me get a sense of connection with other people. Let me have compassion for where other people's needs are. Then let my head become creative about how could I serve those needs? What are ways in which I could respond to people's needs? And in this case, adding in the criteria, how can I do it in a way that there's going to be a fair value exchange, in this case money. There's going to be, what would add value for people that they would be willing to pay for? And the head needs to be creative about that. But you need to be coming from a place where you're trying to actually serve the needs of people. Otherwise, you know, you would just sell anything. You could end up selling drugs to make the money, right? And so if you've created from a place of compassion, then become creative about how you want to generate money in a way that is fulfills your heart as well as is creative and adds value to other people, then we can come back down to the gut and say, now, how do I act from a new identity, a new way of being in the world, where I go out and I add value and I get return in exchange. And it's a very different strategy that comes into play, but it does require an identity upgrading that's based on a connection with people. And again, it comes back from what we call the highest expressions.
That's great.
I'd like to jump in there, Laurie,
yeah,
and add something else if I can, which is a couple of things that come to mind spurred by what Marvin was saying, which is one, with wealth creating with money, there's often an issue that Marvin highlighted there around self-worth. So it's not just around valuing money, but it's also about around valuing yourself, that you are worthy of that value creation and that value offering out to the world. You can't offer to others what you can't bring to yourself. It's like you can't really give love to others if you don't even know what love is for yourself. So there's a sense in the relationship between your heart and the values you hold in your heart around your own core, around your own core identity, which is a gut-based function. So it's a relationship of how your heart and gut relate to one another. And you can literally do a meditation where you hold a sense of a feeling of value for your own core self in your heart and move this from the heart down to the gut and back up to the heart. So you sort of do a dance of loving between your three brains and up to the head. And like Marvin was saying, from compassion for self and that loving kindness and caring for self, and build a deep sense, a visceral sense of self-worth that then echoes out into life and allows you to start building those self-fulfilling prophecies, which is the second thing I was going to mention, which is I'm sure your listeners have probably heard about a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, or RAS for short. And the RAS is a bit in the central core of your central nervous system that filters the information coming from your senses up into the frontal lobes, up into the brain, to the higher centers of the head brain. And it shows up in things like you're at a party and you're deeply involved, like Laurie, you and I are at a party and we're deeply involved in conversation. There's lots of noise around us, so we're tuning out the noise. Our RAS is switching off the noise of other people's conversations so that we can focus on each other's voice, and that's a pretty amazing skill in itself to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere, you know, two tables over, or you know, five people over in a conversation, someone mentions your name or someone mentions something important to you, and suddenly that bit of conversation pops out and pops into your conscious awareness. And how the hell does that happen? How is it possible that you're not listening to anything going on around you and the next thing, there it is? And it's the reticular activating system that's responsible for this. And what derives or directs the reticular activating system to allow information to come from your senses, from the environment, into your conscious awareness, into the parts of your head brain where you can do something about it, make decisions and utilize that information, is what directs that is values and salience. And that's a prime function of the heart. So by working with your heart and working with what's important and building that sense of self-worth and that sense of valuing the creation of wealth, of wealth in your life, you actually start to directionalize your RAS to notice things that it wouldn't otherwise notice. And so people who think they're unlucky, and there's been lots of research on this, and there was recently a reality TV show that quite a few people at our trainings have mentioned seeing, and I'm sure it's probably been across the States and in North America too, because I'm pretty sure it was actually done in North America, where they took a guy who thought he was really unlucky, and they put all these things in his environment, like money on the ground and a truck driving past with, you know, his name on it saying, call this number. And if he'd called the number, he would have won a whole heap of money. And because he felt and thought at a deep, visceral level that he was unlucky, he created that reality.
Wow.
And when they were able to shift that for him, suddenly the luck changed. Money pops out all over the place. It really is amazing that what you hold in your heart starts to come into your environment.
Yeah, and this distinction is very important that Grant's raising here. I remember years ago that when I was still in my 20s, someone asked, it was during a particular training that I was attending, and someone asked, who in here would like to make more money? And, of course, everybody held up their hand. The person chose me to come up to the front of the room and do a bit of a demonstration. And we did a values elicitation where we took a look at one of my core values that were in play. And I had all sorts of great things in there, you know, a bit of learning and a bit of fun and a bit of adventure and all these great things. And we refined that list down until we got to about my top 10 values. And he said, yeah, you notice anything about your list? And I thought, well, it's a pretty good list. You know, it's my values. I'm pretty excited about it. And they said, yeah, notice anything missing. And, of course, nowhere in my list was money. Because I wasn't valuing it, I really wasn't attending to it much. Right? And part of it was when we started to do some, I started to do some personal work on it for myself. Part of it had to do with the fact that there was, I had a whole set of head-based belief structures around money. And that if you went deliberately chasing after money and that was part of your focus, the attention, that would mean you were greedy and, you know, would mean you were shallow and materialistic and all those things I didn't want to be and that I didn't value. And then it was a big breakthrough when I found out that there are different types of values. And one of the many types is a distinction between an ends value and a means value. And that an ends value is ultimately what you're after, whereas a means value is the quality of that something needs to be present in the way that you go about doing things. And it was a big day when I made a shift to make money a means value, not an ends value. And so it wasn't about chasing the money because it's money. It was because money enabled everything else I wanted to do in life. And all the other values I had just got amped up a lot when money was right next to it as part of it, helping it. And when that shifted, then, of course, I easily could attend to looking at money and making sure that there was a fair value exchange for whenever I added value, that there was going to be a fair money return, etc. So it became natural for that to happen. When the heart now starts to value it, the head automatically starts incorporating it into its way of thinking, and the gut takes actions to make sure that it happens.
That all feels very right. I'm not sure that I've ever looked at it that way, and now I want to know how to do that. We're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Grant Cicilu and Marvin Oka from M-Braining. If you want more information, check out their website, mbraining.com. If you want to know about their workshop coming up in Toronto in July, it's a few weeks away, find out more information on their website, or you can check out mine, and the PDF is on their page, the co-host page for Marvin and Grant, and you can check out there, and they will be in Toronto, which is very cool, and it's probably their only North America tour for this year anyway. So you are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. You know, I need someone.
Help! Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
See you all.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
This is Intuitive Soul. We are here today with Grant Sisalu and Marvin Oka from M-Braining. You know, I really do love these guys, so they are just bringing in information that I think is just so important and really cutting edge information that I don't think is very much on people's radar when it comes to the gut brain. Yeah, we certainly have overdone the mind brains. We are exploring the heart brain, but the gut one, that's kind of new and really interesting information. And without all three of them working together, it really can cause all sorts of problems. So we've been talking about blocks, and we're moving, I think, into values. It sort of kind of works with what we were last talking about, which was the financial values that people hold. So let's look at values a little bit more. I mean, we have our own core values. I thought that was fascinating that you brought in about the means and the ends values. What can you shed on this stuff?
Yeah, there's probably there's a whole field that studies values called axiology. And there's a lot of different ways to actually understand and work with values. And obviously it's critically important for anyone to really be clear on, you know, what's truly important to them in their life and for themselves. And values can reach can go on from one end of the continuum. It can be just simply, these are important things you consider when you bring into when you're making a relatively important decision, all the way to something so deep and so profound that unless the value was fulfilled, life wouldn't be worth living. And when it is fulfilled, life is worth living. So it can be, you know, it runs the whole continuum from the mildly important to the deeply important. But perhaps maybe a good place to start is a distinction I learned from Grant many years back. So Grant, you might want to explain the difference between things like closest values and highest values.
Oh yeah, and this is a conversation that could go on all night. And it's truly fascinating. I actually spent a couple of years just researching values and exploring values in people's lives from a behavioral modeling perspective. Because as you know, that one of the key things that Marvin and I do is we're behavioral modelers. So we look at the way people produce behaviors and what the unconscious processes we unpack that to what's the kind of the recipe by which they produce their realities. And so exploring values, I thought, would be, you know, a fascinating topic and so very important and empowering in my own life and to be able to share with others. One of the things I started to notice was that values sought by what in NLP, in neuro-linguistic programming, is called submodalities, which is the each of our five senses is called a sensory modality. So in vision, so the visual modality has subcomponents. So if you picture something in your mind's eye, the picture has a certain brightness and has actually a certain distance from you, and it has, you know, a certain size, and it can have a border, it can be colored or black and white. These things are called the submodalities of the sensory modality of vision. What I started to notice is that when people think of something that's really, really, you know, important to them, has a value to them. And if it's really highly valued, they'll actually hold that picture, that image of the thing they value, high in their visual field. So, you know, if your listeners right now think of something that's really, truly, highly important, highly valued, and just notice what you're picturing. Where in the visual field is it? Is it in, you know, in your vision? Is it high up? Is it in the middle of your visual field, or where is it? And then you think of something that you don't value at all, or that you that actually disgusts you, you know, has a real negative value, something that you really dislike intensely. And where is that picture in your mind's eye? Where is that in your visual field? And Laurie, as you've done this, did you notice that thing that you value highly is actually higher?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and like what a, you know, I love the term Marvin has, I learned many years ago from a BFO, what a blinding flash of the obvious, you know, that high values, the reason we use the word that high value versus a low value is because we actually sort them by the vertical sense of high versus low. And this is replete across society. So it doesn't just go into our language, but into many, many, many of our behaviors, including, you know, have you ever seen a short supermodel? We actually value tall people. Tall people have higher median incomes than short people. And where do we put the top drinks? The most expensive drinks when you go to a bar, they're called top shelf drinks. We put the most expensive, highest value drinks up on the top shelf. And when we put paintings on a wall, we never put them down low. We put them high up. And in fact, if you've ever done any framing of, you know, studied the art of framing a picture, I'm looking at a picture right now in front of me on my wall, and the actual image, which in this case is some beautiful gum trees out in the high country of Australia, is sitting in the frame higher up. There's a larger border at the bottom than the top. We shift the image in the frame so that it's slightly higher, so that we're saying the image is more important than the actual frame. And it goes right throughout society. And where do we put the people who are the most senior or the most important in our organizations? Where do they actually geographically live? They're always on the
top
floors. On the org chart, we put them on the top of the piece of paper, on the top of the org chart. So we always elevate things of high value, and we have, you know, a value sort for things that are less value, go lower, 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 until we get to things that are like move, what we call move away, because there's a move towards values, the things we will move towards, and we'll organize time, energy, money, and resources to want and to have. And those things we'll move away from, the things we actually, in a sense, disgust us and we don't want, we won't have. And typically, move away from values are really low. They're right down our visual field, and they're often more darkly colored, and they have a quite intense disgust response to us. And there's an interesting semantics in that, because disgust is gustatory. It's gut-brained. And we find that we have this disgust, distaste, which actually links to certain ways in which we value things that we don't want in our lives. So there's some very interesting ways in which values play out. There are things like we have needs values versus desires values. Desires are what we hold in our heart, and things that are important to our heart. Whereas needs values, those things which we absolutely must have to make us who we are. It's like we need to eat, we need to breathe. Those things are a given, and we must have them or we can't live. And there are other things we have in our lives that are treated like that we have hungers towards. And they're very different values. Needs value is very different, and you'll do all, you know, it'll organize your life very differently from a desire value. And when you start to think about the things that are important to you, where you place those within your three brains, within your neurology, how you experience them as either desire values or needs values, and you can shift these. There are processes by which you can shift something from one to the other. So you're holding wealth creating as a needs value or a desires value? Is it something you just like, or is it something you absolutely must have? And then to see your definition around what is money or what is wealth creating, because it's not true wealth is not just about money. Because health is part of true wealth. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're unhealthy, either psychologically, emotionally, or physically, then the money actually won't help you. There are plenty of very monetarily rich people who actually are not wealthy in their spirit and in their life. So beginning to understand the different sorts of ways we do valuing, because we don't have, you know, as Marvin was saying way earlier, was this fancy term called nominalizations, you know, treating processes as if they're things, verbs as if they're nouns. We don't have values. We do valuing, but we typically do it outside of conscious awareness. So I'll pause now. Otherwise, I could go on for literally. I've started writing a book, which I haven't completed yet, but it's an ongoing project called Valuing Your Life, and it's really all about, you know, the different aspects of values and how they're constructed in our reality, our subjective reality, and what the neuroscience is around that. And, of course, MBIT has added so much more to that now.
Wow. Yeah. I guess all three of the brains are necessary when you're looking at values.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as Grant was saying, you know, the difference between things like foundational values that are critical for you, and usually you have a strong identity, or your gut is linked to that and has a strong identification with it, as opposed to, say, more aspirational values, which are coming more from your heart. But you also have to, when the challenge is when people talk about values, as Grant's pointed out, they often get tricked or seduced by the language, because when we talk about them, to use words. And so we use words like happiness or peace or security or integrity or responsibility or honesty and all these great words that symbolize values. But those are just words. Those are just nominalizations. Unless you actually feel them, unless you actually go into the processing of that, then all they are concepts. All they are head-based concepts. But you do need all three. You need to feel it in your heart. You need to identify with it in your gut so that these values are actually integrated within you, so that you live them. But you also do need to think through in your head, what do these values mean? So what does, particularly in certain kinds of situations, you know, how do you do honesty when what you're about to say is probably not going to be well received, right? And so you start to think, well, yes, but now how do I be honest in a way that's also diplomatic? You know, but what does that mean? What does it mean to be honest if you know that it will actually hurt someone? What do you do now? How does this play out? And these are kind of things where you could feel the honesty, you could identify with the honesty, but you also have to be creative in your head about how does this play out in really key situations? And this is usually the big discussions that happen in philosophy, to ethics, to morality, all these types of very deep conversations occur, and they're usually often wrestling with these types of things. What do these virtues really mean in situations when it's just not so straightforward? And therefore it does, as you rightly pointed out, it does require all three brains. It requires your heart to process it. It requires your gut to actually integrate it, assimilate it into your sense of identity and act upon it. And it requires your head to really think it through and be creative about it.
All right, we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Grant and Marvin. Check them out on their website, mbraining.com. This is just incredible, interesting information. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Coming up Tuesday on New Sky Radio at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Sound Effects. Explore the effects of sound on the body and environment with sound therapist Doreen Davis. Coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern, it's Radio to Thrive By with the Dr. Pat Radio Show. At 3 p.m. Eastern, join Laura Lee in the Spirit Salon. Coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern, it's the Colette Baron Reed Show. Join Colette for her fun, fast-paced show all about you. Be sure to call in early. The phones are hot. Coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, explore your career options with career coach Caroline. At 6 p.m. Eastern, tap into your moment of change with Sherry Gaba and Kathleen O'Connor. Shane Parker introduces us all to today's top metaphysical specialists on Metaphysical Minds at 7 p.m. Shay, the best of the best American psychics, take to the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At 9 p.m. Eastern, grab your psychic cup of coffee with Kelly Sutliff.
Step into the enchanted world of Monte Farber at 10 p.m. Eastern. And at 11 p.m., it's the Zodiac Girls. So sexy, so cool. Tonight on New Sky Radio. For more on these shows and all New Sky Radio shows, check out newskyradio.com/show. New Sky Radio and radio.com. Powered by CBS Radio.
Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Grant Susilou and Marvin Oka from M-Braining. They're doing a training, a coaching program in Toronto, only time they're coming to North America, at least this year. So if you're wanting more information, check out their website, mbraining.com, or you can download the PDF. I have it on their page on intuitivesoul.com. We've been talking about blocks, then we got into values. This is really fascinating stuff. So let's look at, it was right there. Let's look at values and I guess how it can kind of go into our higher expressions.
Very much. As we mentioned, the values are nominalizations. They're actually processes, even though we use words like they're nouns. So we talk about having values, but we don't. We have to do processes of valuing, again, which is a heart-based capacity in the purest sense. But it also does require the gut to identify with it, and it requires the head to actually think it through and come up with what do these values really mean and what are some strategies that I need to engage in to express these values properly. And there are certain values that are so core to your identity that unless you actually live them, or come from them in your way of being in the world, that one would you could easily argue that then someone's being, for lack of better terms, inauthentic. They're not really authoring themselves and their life and their expressions into the world, because it's not true to who they really are, what they really value, what really makes them come alive. But when they do, we say that they are far more authentic, and literally in the sense of they're self-authoring their life and their expressions. Now, this leads us to really, if you want to get really fascinating in our conversations now, we've been talking about nominalizations, these processes that grammatically get turned into nouns, so verbs get turned into nouns, and when we act as if they're nouns, life can get a little bit strange because they're actually really processes. And we mentioned them, things like relationship and whether, and any value, really, most of the times will be some form of a nominalization. Well, many years ago, one of the developers of NLP, of neuro-linguistic programming, John Grinder, his next-door neighbor was Gregory Bateson. And he was talking to Gregory Bateson and explaining to him about this concept of nominalizations. And Bateson then asked John Grinder, and he said, so the word I, as in I am my identity, who I am, the word I, is that a nominalization? And Grinder thought for a moment, and he said, well, no, that's a pronoun. And Bateson responded, that's a shame. Hmm. And Grinder thought about it for a moment, and he thought, oh, Bateson is right. I is actually a nominalization. Who you are is not a thing. It's you. You are a set of ongoing processes. So your whole way, your ways of thinking, ways of valuing, ways of emoting, ways of believing, ways of being, these are all your ongoing set of verbs. I believe it was Rabbi Gordon Cooper that wrote a book years back called God is a Verb. It's ongoing set of processes. When you think about it this way, then your way of being authentic in life is a way of doing self, what Grant and I like to call self-ing, how you do yourself as a set of processes. And you can do yourselves in ways that make you come alive, that express an inner spirit, or ways that succumb to your conditioning and that dampen your inner essence and inner spirit. So you don't really come from your true valuing processing or your true ways of doing of who you are. But instead you monitor it or you cap it or you constrain it via some head-based thoughts about how you should be, how you need to act, what's going to be, what good boys and good girls do and don't do, as opposed to what is really true for you, what makes you come alive. And this gets captured in our approach in working with the multiple brains that we call the MBIT roadmap, which I think we talked about on our very first interview. And it starts first with being in a state of autonomic coherence through some balanced breathing processes. Get yourself in a state where you're not stressed and you're not depressed either, but you're in a nice balanced state. Then get in communication with your three brains. Get connected with them. Listen to what they really have to say about any particular issue or your life or your goals. Listen to what your heart has to say, what your gut has to say, what your head really has to say. Then get them congruent, get them aligned through the foundational sequence, which we did that process with you in one of the interviews. And then go to highest expressions to allow your heart to come from a place of deep compassion, deep connected, loving connection with people and with yourself. Your head can then become creative how to express that sense of what is truly important to you in a way that serves and helps others as well as serves yourself. And then have the courage to go against your own conditioning, to rise above, transcend your own conditioning, so that you can actually make a difference out there in the world in a way that's fully expressive of who you are. From there, emergent wisdom starts to arise. And from there, you're doing authentic selfing.
Wow. Yeah. Authenticity is such an important piece to being who we are. I mean, we're too often, I don't know if corrupted is the word, but just, stuck in a place where we're trying to please everybody else instead of really being authentically who we are. So it's just such a huge piece of the work that we really, it's kind of an ongoing process of doing on ourselves so that we can become and be, the authentic person that we are.
Yeah, exactly right. And Grant and I find whenever we're working with people with the multiple brain processes, that when they go through this roadmap and they end up coming from their highest expressions, authentic ways of doing oneself, they come alive. We liken it to simply saying one of the things that you can tell a good multiple brain integration coach does is they liberate human spirit. The person comes alive. They get connected to themselves. They find out what's true for them, and they've got far more not only an increased level of energy and zest for life, but a deeper connection with themselves and with their life.
Yeah, I can see how that just would be so empowering for people and freeing. Wow. Any more thoughts on it? Grant, we haven't heard from you in this.
One of the things I was thinking about was the flip side of it, which obviously I don't want to dwell on at this point towards the end of the conversation. But one of the ways in which people don't do authenticity is and don't offer their life in a way that helps them to really evolve their world is when they get stuck in that sympathetic or parasympathetic. And our society is really good at creating ways in which we stress ourselves out. We build our lives around hungers and greeds. There's all this stuff, this bling that we feel we need to be living a great life. We get caught up in trying to get the money to buy this stuff, and by the time you bought it, you don't even have the energy to really use it. And when you go into stressed mode and sympathetic dominant mode, you're the wisdom of your three brains attempts to bring you back to that balance point, but it usually does it by flipping you into a parasympathetic dominant, that's almost depressed mode. And then to get out of that, or as part of that, people, that's the feeding and fornicating side of the autonomic nervous system. So people start focusing on sexuality and food and hungers and buying stuff, which leads them to have to go and have the stress of getting more money and getting more things, and they bounce from one side to the other. And so to really find your way to those highest expressions, to find your way to be able to truly liberate your spirit, you have to break the cycle of the sympathetic parasympathetic rebound. You have to be doing on a daily basis that the simple breathing process of self-awareness, of coming back to core self, of feeling as you breathe in and out of your heart something like love and kindness and compassion. It's really simple techniques. Only takes a few minutes, and you can just break the cycle of bouncing between sympathetic and parasympathetic, and break the cycle of greed that society projects onto us, and find what truly makes you come alive. It's possible. It's easy. That's what embraining is all about. And I think, it's what the last 3,000 years of wisdom traditions have been telling us, and our neuroscience validates. So I think it's really liberating that we've found something that is backed up by science, it meets the wisdom of the ages, and is really so very simple and yet so profound. It's, as we say in our book, you can use your multiple brains to do cool stuff.
Perfect. Well, you guys, this has been great. I really can't say enough about it, because it's like the cutting edge of work that we need to look at to understand ourselves more and to understand our motivations and our values and our authenticity. And it really, I really am in awe of the work that you guys have put together and done. So if you want more information about Grant and Marvin, check out their website, embraining.com, buy their book, Embraining. And if you're really interested in, becoming a coach in this, they will be here in Toronto. I say that because that's where I live, but they'll be in North America in Toronto. In July, is it the 21st to the 24th? Does that sound right?
It's about right, yeah.
Okay, so it's about that. they also will be doing a trainer's training. Find out more information at their website, embraining.com. Thank you guys for joining our show, and again, hope to have you back. So thanks again.
Great. Thank you, Laurie. It's been fabulous.
Perfect.
We've really enjoyed it.
Yay. All right, you've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.